go. Right. Good. First of all, we've got a game to play, and I need two volunteers for the game. Well, we've got two of the girls of that. Go on. You both come up here. Okay. So what I need is the two of you behind the table, and come around the side. That's it. So we have got some people here, some jelly babies, but they're all drowning. Oh, there we go. And your aim is to be their rescuers. So you've got a pair of chopsticks, okay? And you've got, let's say you've got 1 minute to try and get out as many as you can. So if you put yours over there, Amelia, and if you put yours here, Evie, that'd be great. On your marks, get set, go. See how many you can get. One. Oh, that's good. That's it. Come on, let's get another one out. Oh, that's it. Well done. That's it. You can use any technique you want. You can use two hands if you want. Or that's it. Go and get one more. Go on. Can you use both hands if you want, Evie? Oh, Amelia's got her technique. Or you can stab them. Go on, that's it. Go on. Go and get one more. That's it. Well done. There we go. 45 seconds gone. Oh, nearly. Go on, get one more. That's it. Oh, well done. Oh. Okay, go and get one more. It's got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, well done. Well done. Give both a round of applause. How many have we got? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And 7. Well done. Great. So Amelia wins. Well done. Take a seat then. Now, why did I play that game? Well, that is what we are about as Christians. As Christians, we are about saving people from sin and death and saving them for life and relationship with God. And we're desperate to save just one more. Time is running out, and we want to see as many saved as possible. That is what the church is to be doing here on earth. It's why we're running the life course that we've been doing on Wednesdays. It's why we're so excited about Christmas and the opportunities that gives to save just one more if they come and hear about Jesus and come to know him. And it's what we see here in Acts, as we've been working through this series. We've been seeing lots of people saved as they repent and believe the gospel. And we've seen loads and loads come to know Jesus. We've seen 3,000 on one day. And all these people flocking to Jesus. But here in this passage, the action slows right down and focuses on just one person. On just one person. An Ethiopian. And so like in the game, we see one more person being saved. But how does anyone become a Christian? How does anyone become a Christian? Well, in today's passage, we see what it takes, what does and doesn't make someone a Christian, as we meet three characters. And the first we meet is an Ethiopian. Here's a picture of him. Oh no, that's the saving. There we go. There's the Ethiopian. An Ethiopian who was an outsider who becomes an insider. And we meet him in verses 28:7 and 28. Have a look down there, follow along and see what we find out about him. So Philip started on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So, I need someone to be my Ethiopian. Someone else? Go on, Quinn. You come and be my Ethiopian. Here we go. Here's my Ethiopian. Turn around. There we go. Now, what do we learn about this Ethiopian? Well, firstly, we learn that he was an important official. So here we go. We're going to make you important. Here's your tie. Looking like a very important businessman. So he was like the prime minister to the queen, or the kind of, he was in charge of all the money. So he was a really important person. And we know, too, that he was very rich. Here you go. Here's some money for you. There you go. So he was very rich because, well, firstly, he could afford a chariot, but he was in charge of all the money in Egypt, in Ethiopia. Also, he was very clever. Can you hold that big book? Because you're a very clever man. There we go. Because he was very clever, that man, because for one thing, he could read. And he, so here he is. He's a very important, very powerful, very clever, rich man. But also, he's got lots going for him spiritually, because he's also, he's gone up to the temple to worship, and also, he's there wanting to read his Bible. But all those things, even with all those things, he is an outsider when it comes to God, because of the other two things we learn about him. See, when he went up to the temple, so here's the temple. When he went up to the temple, he would have seen a big no entry sign. Because he really wanted to go in, but there was a big no entry sign. Because there was two people, kinds of people, that weren't able to go into the temple. One was foreigners, people from other countries, people who weren't Jews, like Ethiopians. And the other was eunuchs. So that's people who were physically disfigured. Anyone who was disfigured or sort of unclean in any way wasn't allowed into the temple. And so when he went up, he'd have seen a big no-entry sign. So he travelled all that way to get to the temple, and when he got there, he couldn't go in. He's an outsider. And all his money and his importance and everything else wouldn't get him inside. So he has to turn around and go back home. Well done. Why don't you turn around and go back home over there, all your bits and pieces. You see, no matter how important or clever or powerful he was always going to be an outsider because he was unclean and so unable to enter into God's presence. Not even reading the Bible was enough to get him in with God. But what he reads in the Bible, well, that is what makes him an insider. You see, when Philip catches up with the chariot, like he's told to do, he finds the Ethiopian there reading from Isaiah 53. It's a part of the Bible written 800 years before Jesus came, speaking all about Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 34 and 35 of Acts. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Jesus began with that very passage of Scripture and told him about the good news about Jesus. So he was saying this passage is all about Jesus. And as he does so, we see why someone can become an insider. So if you would turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 53. It's the only time we're going to turn anywhere else. But Isaiah chapter 53 on page 741. You might keep a finger in Acts. So the bit that the Ethiopian were told was reading was verse 7, but I'm sure as he asked that question, who's this about? Philip would have pointed back to just a few verses before. So we're going to start from verse 4. As it speaks about a suffering servant, and look what it says about him, verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, lambs and sheep in the Bible were used as sacrifices. Sacrifices in the temple to pay for people's sins as a way of allowing them to enter and have access to God. And that the lamb would be punished in the place of God. So the sin of the people would be laid on the lamb, and the lamb would die in place of the person. But that was only really a picture, if you like, what happened in the temple. A picture of what Jesus was going to do, the sacrifices Jesus was going to make, as he was going to die in the place of all the people, taking their sin on himself. Because he is the one who on the cross, as it says in verse 5, was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. For all the wrong things we've done, all the ways we've ignored God, laid on him as he died in our place. And his death was enough to make anyone clean, whoever they were, however outside they were. Adults, you may want to make a note and of Isaiah 56, because just after this, I'm sure Philip would have carried on with the Ethiopian reading on to show Isaiah 56, where it speaks about both a foreigner and a eunuch being welcomed into God's people. And that's what we see, the wonderful news that this Ethiopian hears, that through Jesus' death, all of us who are outsiders, all of us who are unclean and unable to be friends with God, are able to get access. So in Isaiah, so go back to Acts chapter 8. And see that the Ethiopian, when he hears this, he rejoices. And he sees some water, and he says, what's standing in the way of me being baptized? What's going to stop me from being included, from having that sign of being part of God's people? And the answer is nothing. Nothing, because Jesus has died for them. So the barrier has been removed. See, we can now have access to God. The no entry sign has been torn up through Jesus' death. So whoever we are, whether we're eunuchs, however we're unclean, or wherever we come from, instead of being excluded, we can be included. We can be welcomed in, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And maybe that's the good news that you need to hear this morning. If you're here and you feel like an outsider, then you need to know that the way is open for you to be welcomed in. If you think, well, I could never be good enough for God because of what I've done, because of who I am, I couldn't be included. Well, know that the way is open for all outsiders to become insiders. That's the wonder of the gospel. There's no barrier stopping you because Jesus has removed them all through his death on the cross. And so you, like this Ethiopian here, can leave rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. You can do that today. If you want to know how you do that, then do come and speak to me or speak to someone else afterwards. But also, it is a warning for many of us here who maybe think we are in. And I'm going to speak particularly to the children here, Because you have a wonderful privilege as children, because you've been brought up in a church. So you have, like this Ethiopian, you came to the temple to worship. You come to church every week. And you have a wonderful privilege because you have mummies and daddies and grandparents who maybe read the Bible with you. But all those things can't make you a Christian. They in themselves don't make you a Christian. The only thing that can make you a Christian is trusting in Jesus' death to open up the way back to God. That's the only way to be included. You see, there's lots of people who go to church, who even read the Bible, but are never saved, who remain outsiders. So don't presume you're in. Make sure you're trusting in Jesus to save you. That's a warning for us all here. It's very easy to trust in what we're doing rather than in what Jesus has done. It's a warning for those of us who are parents to not presume, but to be teaching them about Jesus as the way in. Because we're all outsiders unless we're trusting in Jesus' work on the cross to open the way for us to become insiders. So see if you can remember that verse. Do take a seat. Great. So we have met our first character, the Ethiopian, but there's actually three characters. So we've still got two more to meet. Don't worry, we're going to meet those much more briefly. And one of them is, of course, Philip. There we go. But there's another one as well. It's a bit more difficult to spot, but he's at work right through this passage. Can anyone know who the other character might be who we're going to need to meet? The Spirit of the Lord. Well done. Yeah, or sort of, I've kind of just put it as God, but that's how he works, through his Spirit, doesn't he? Exactly. So there is someone else working right through this passage, because God is there at work directing everything that happens here. Let's see how that is. So I'm going to need some volunteers again. I need a Philip and an Ethiopian. So Amelia and Chloe, come on out. So who wants to be Philip? You're going to be Philip, okay? And that means you're going to be the Ethiopian, right? Okay. So Philip, you need to go over there. So I'm going to take the directing role of God in this play. So, right, here we go. That's your chariot. Well done. Take your chariot. Important Ethiopians. Take a seat in it. Sit down. There we go. You don't have much of a role. You just have to sit there. But I am organizing also. I've decided that you're going to be here. And then what I want Philip to do is I want you to come over next to the chariot. Okay, we need a Bible, don't we? There we go. There's your Bible that you're reading. There we go. So Philip comes over to the chariot, and then whilst the chariot's going along, Philip, you've got to run alongside it, okay? So you need to run on the spot. Okay. And whilst you're doing that, you also need to point to the Bible to explain it to the Ethiopian. So you point to the Bible, Philip. That's it. There we go. And you explain it to Amelia there. So well done. And then, once you've done that, as the director, I'm going to send you right over there. Okay? There we go. As I send you off somewhere else. Okay. There we go. I've directed the play, and you've done a very good job of being my actor. So well done. Come and take a seat again. So, the point of that is, in all the actions that happen, all the things that happen to Philip and the Ethiopian, actually, God is the one in control of it all. God is the one in control of it all. You see him at work all the way through the passage. So he decides, tells Philip where to go as the angel, by the Spirit of the Lord. And he tells him to go along to the chariot. And he tells him to explain, to speak to him. And then God decides at the end to send him off somewhere else. God is at work making sure everyone is in the right place at the right time so that the Ethiopian can meet Philip and have Isaiah explain to him. And that is just as true today. You see, God is the one in control and responsible for organizing things so that you were brought to hear about Jesus and to trust in him. Brought to a place where you were asking questions, maybe. Brought into a situation in your life that forced you to think about God. It may have been through Christian parents, but it was God who chose to place you in that Christian family so that you could hear about Jesus. We heard at the Life Course on Sunday of Sue's testimony. And we heard how she started going along to church after being brought up and being put off it. It was through her children taking her along to a mums and tots group that she came along. And she actually went to one church, but they talking about Jesus, and she didn't want to hear about him. So she went to another church where she thought she felt safe. But what did God do? Well, God chose to bring a new vicar in who did talk about Jesus in a way which was kind and compassionate, and your Lord used him and that church to bring Sue to faith. Or there's a chap called Alan who I met. I was sitting in Starbucks and I was just started chatting to him, and we started talking about Jesus and about God, about how God organized and the universe, why it was ordered and made sense. And he left, and then a little later he was on a train, and the person sitting in his reserve seat was a Christian, not sure about that, but he got talking to him, and then that mate Alan got back in touch with me and said, I think I need to look into this Christian thing a bit more. And he said, I think it wasn't a coincidence that was a Christian sat in my seat on the train, but it was what God telling me that I needed to look into this. And it's true, isn't it? God, it wasn't a coincidence, because God controls everything in our lives, and he controls us and brings us into contact with Christians so that we can hear the good news about Jesus. And that brings us to our final character. You see, because actually, God could have chosen any means at all, isn't he? If he controls the whole universe, he could have chosen any means at all to tell the Ethiopian about Jesus, couldn't he? There could have been a big booming voice saying from heaven, saying, Ethiopian, believe in Jesus. Or he could have written it in the clouds in the sky. He could have chosen to do whatever he wants. But instead he chose to use Philip, an ordinary Christian, coming and explaining the Bible to the Ethiopian. Because that is the way that God uses ordinary people like Philip, teaching people from the Bible, ordinary people like you and me. He brings people into contact with Christians so that we can listen and hear them as they tell us about Jesus. Again, parents, that's how your children will come to know Jesus. By you telling them about him. Not in some miraculous way. They're not going to just become Christian, but it's through you teaching them the Bible. Christians, that's why God has put you wherever he's put you. In your workplace, in your street, in your neighborhood, in your group of friends and family. So that as your lives intersect with others, you can be the means by which God uses to teach them about Jesus from the Bible. You are God's ordained means. He's the means he's chosen for them to hear about Jesus. Now let's Where's my bits of paper gone? Let's see if we can do a little illustration of this, of why we need this. So I'm going to give these out to people, some adults. There we go. There we go, Will. Not to you. It'll be adults. There we go. Lorraine, you want one down there? There we go. One there. Right. Okay, so. So I have got a code here that children, you need to... Children, should come out to the front. So I've got a code here, and I could tell you just what it says, but that would be boring, wouldn't it? So what I've done is there's various people who have got the answer to this. And so what you need to do is you need to go and find a person, and they're going to tell you the letter, and they're going to come back. So we'll do first. So who's got number one? So Quinn, do you want to go and find number one? What's the letter? J. Okay. Right. Who's going to go next to find number two? Who's got number two? Go on, Evie, you go next. Who's got number two? Yep. What's the letter? S. Oh, sorry. Yep. Okay, who's going to go next? Zach, going to find number three? Think you know already?
Jesus.
Oh, I have to wait and see. It's not going to be hard. So that's number three. E. So four. Who's four? Who's going four? Amelia, have you done one yet? Do you want to go and get number four? Number four's a V. Right. Number five. Go on, Chloe. What's the letter? An A? Oh, here we go. We see what it says yet. Okay, number six. Tessa, Hannah, you've not won yet, have you? Go on. Another S. Number seven. Who's next, Quinn? You've got to do number seven.
E.
E for that. Here we go. We're starting to get it now. Eight. Go on, Vivi. Who's got number eight? S. Who's got number nine? Wayne at the back. Who's going to get number nine? Someone, go on, Chloe. And then who's going to get number 10? Zach, have you been? Go on, you get number 10 in a minute. Number 10's over there, Zach. So what's that one? U. Nine's U. And the last one Zach's going to bring. S. Another S. So what does it say?
Jesus saves.
Well done. So now you know, because everyone helped you to tell you what it was. Well done. Do take a seat. Now, for you to understand that, you needed everyone else to help you. You needed to go to them and speak to them. And if they had been asleep or thought, I can't be bothered with this, and they didn't put their hand up and tell you, you wouldn't have been able to know, would you? But they helped you to understand the message about Jesus. And that is what God has placed us where he's placed us to do for those around us. And there's a couple of things that means for us. First of all, it means that we have a great responsibility. Because do you think like that, that wherever God has placed you, he has put you there with the purpose of telling people about Jesus? So that people can intersect with your lives, who you share them with, and you have that opportunity to help them to understand about Jesus. There was a missionary called William Carey, who was passionate about seeing people saved, and he spoke at this meeting trying to get support for people to come with him and for people to pay for him to go. And this man said to him, he said, "Young man, sit down. If God wants to convert the heathens, he will do it without your help or mine." And that man was completely wrong. Because God won't do it without your help or mine. He can do, but he doesn't. He chooses to use us. And he chose to use William Carey to tell lots of people all around India about Jesus. And people still go out as part of his mission organization to tell people about Jesus because they know that that's the means God uses. That's not to be a burden on us, because we've got to remember the first point, that God is the one in control, that it's down to him. And so we pray for those opportunities and we trust him in them. But we have our part to play. So we're to see all those intersections where God is bringing our paths to cross with others, where he's placed us as his witnesses to explain the gospel. This week, perhaps God brings across your path someone, a friend you meet for coffee, the colleague that you're doing that project with at work, the delivery driver or the shop worker that you meet. Well, maybe you've been brought there. God's put you in that place to invite them to the carol service so that they may hear about Jesus and be saved. Just one more. That might be the start of how that person becomes a Christian. How they go from being an outsider to an insider through Jesus' death, opening up the way. Let me pray for us this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for where you've placed every single one of us, in our different lives, in our different places. We thank you that you've put us there and you've surrounded us with people. Please help us to see those opportunities, and please give us those opportunities where we might play a little part in helping them to understand who Jesus is from the Bible and so trust in him. Amen.